a top five goaltender in the National Hockey League, okay? But right now, he is playing like a top five goaltender in the NHL. So the decision is not difficult. It is easy. He remains the number one goalie until further notice. All right, let's get to Will Brinson, Pick Six Podcast moderator, senior NFL writer, CBSSports.com. All right, let's spend the first few minutes. Oh, we got the hat back on. Very nice. So you must not have a CBS Sports HQ hit, so you don't have to keep your hair all nice and pretty. Let's just talk.
I figured out while I was like surfing through my HD antenna channels the other day that I can like easily watch this. Like it's like I.
Oh yes.
There's enough people watching us potentially that I don't want to have my hair every which way.
Hey, look, that's fair. Let's just speak to Panthers fans for a couple of minutes here. Tell them that they basically have the same chance today to win the division that they had a week ago when we last spoke, right? Last Thursday. I mean, it's gone down a little bit because time is part of the equation here. And I guess it's the Saints have been brought in to this whole mix because the Saints are also 5-9. And because you have less time here, maybe the Falcons can also win out. And now we have all sorts of tiebreakers. But ultimately, they win all three. As improbable as that is, it's still there for them, right?
Yeah, I mean, sure. If you, yes,
they're probably not. I'm not suggesting that they're going to win all three, but if they
it's so freaking ridiculous that we have to. Not that we have to talk about this, but like we just said on the podcast, how you know you have like you know it's late in the year. We're all really tired. We'd like to skip some crappy games and just move past them. Like, you know, normally you wouldn't have to discuss on a national recap podcast the what are the records now? The 6-8 Steelers defeating the 5-9 Panthers. Like, we're going to move on because right. Those are the two most worthless teams in the NFL. They're not even competing for the high draft pick. They're not competing for the division. Oh, wait, the Panthers are somehow still in the mix here. And yes, they control their own destiny, went out in the division, and you host Dallas in a playoff game. And look, I was actually doing this last night. I think, and this is what we're going to do a press coverage show. We do like a 15-minute podcast on Mondays.
Right.
That for some reason, corporate decided to add in the middle of the season. we needed another podcast.
Yep. SV.
I think it's the worst division ever, right?
I mean, I guess the 7-8-1 NFC South.
So the candidates I had, and they're all pretty modern, all since right. 2000, really. The ones that I came up with, and you know, if you've got better ideas from back in the day, I'm certainly open to them. But 2014 NFC South, 2010 NFC West. You may recall that the 7-9 Seattle Seahawks,
right,
defeated the Saints with the Beast Quake. That division. That division is pretty good. It had a negative 322 combined point differential. They went the entire division with 25-39.
Wow.
Yeah, pretty bad. So currently the NFC South as it stands right now is a combined 21-35, 14 games below 500. Obviously, they have a horrendous point differential. I believe it's
-135.
There you go. Thank you. -135. So yes. They've got ways to go to actually catch up with that 2010 NFC West or even the 2014 NFC South, which had a negative 227 point differential. But yeah, I mean, this is up there with the worst divisions of all time.
And part of me wants, just because it's would be fun, is for all four teams to lose again.
I want this division winner to have six wins.
Right. I want all four teams to lose again. So we go into next week with the Panthers at 5-10 with a chance to tie for first with a win in Tampa. New Orleans is at Cleveland. Atlanta is at Baltimore. I think those are probably losses. Detroit is at Carolina, the way the Lions are playing, and we'll talk about them in a minute. That could be a loss for Carolina. Tampa at Arizona could end up clinching the division, but those are two bad football teams.
I want to see what would happen if every single one of these teams loses every single game the rest of the way.
Well, then, I wish that could happen.
I know they have to play each other. Yeah. There is a possibility, though, that I just ran through with the ESPN playoff machine, where in week 16, the Ravens beat the Falcons, as you point out. Browns beat the Saints. Totally reasonable. Cardinals beat the Bucks. Why not? I mean, it's a road game. The Bucks just 17-point lead.
The Bucks are terrible.
Bucks are awful.
Yeah.
Then in week 17, Cardinals beat the Falcons. We're asking a lot out of Trace McSorley here, but that's okay.
Right.
The Eagles beat the Saints, and the Buccaneers and the Panthers tie. And then the Falcons at home beat the Bucks. The Saints beat the Panthers at home. And the 6-10-1 Tampa Bay Buccaneers are your division champions.
6-10-1. That would be great. My head is exploding just trying to come up with all those things. 6-10-1 would be great. And we'll get me to this real quick. And I don't know if you guys have talked about it on the Pick Six podcast or not. My opinion of, and this goes across every sport, winning the division should get you in. It should not get you anything beyond in. I value the divisions. Somebody's got to win it. If we don't reward somebody for winning the division, there's no point having them. But it shouldn't make you the four seed. It should make you the seven seed if you have the worst record. At some point, I'll bet anything at some point, all the leagues change to do that, because all it takes, like, Dallas. I mean,
you're talking to somebody who roots for a team in the Atlantic Division of the ACC, so you're not.
I understand. Totally understand. All right.
I do agree, though, by the way, like that the division should. I agree with you that the division should matter. Like, these things are cyclical. You know, we talk about the NFC West being terrible, NFC South being terrible. There have been times when, if the division is really hard, you have to play those teams twice. You should be rewarded for winning a really difficult division, just like you should be, it shouldn't matter. If you have divisions, you should be rewarded for winning that. And I'm okay with a four seed. If I'm Dallas, I get why I'd be upset that I'm, like, going to finish 12 and, 12-5 and right. Whatever. And you come away 12-5 and you're like, I have to go on the road to play a 6-10-1 Tampa Bay Buccaneers team. Like, great.
Right. Look, you don't have to go back that far. But the Eagles won the NFC East at 9-7. They were the only team over 500 in that division.
Sure.
So it's not like, I mean, every division basically has gone through it. And because it is, the entire sport is cyclical. Look, all pro sports are cyclical, college sports too. Real quick, my one criticism of the Panthers yesterday is that you couldn't run it all day long. They had one carry that exceeded 3 yards. It was it. Deontay Foreman had a 5-yard run. That was it. He ended up with, 10 carries for 9 yards, and he had a 5-yard run. So we can do the math in the other ones, right? But they insisted on running the ball when they needed touchdowns, and what it did was it put them into a position where the Steelers knew they were going to throw it, so they could just, I'll use the old football term, pin their ears back and just go right after the quarterback. Now, they might have gotten to the quarterback anyway, because they, TJ Watt is on another level. But I just thought that at some point you can't do what you always do because you're not doing it. That, to me, was the failure in, I guess, the decision-making.
Yeah, I mean, they ran for 1.3 yards per carry. Like, that's just not going to fly at any level of professional or any level of football, honestly. If you're running for 1.3 yards per carry at the I-9 league here in Raleigh, like, you need to
that's bad coaching right there. Get another father to coach.
Yeah. Fire me and go
try somebody's mom at this point.
Right. Yeah, that's right. Yeah. I agree completely. I mean, I think part of the problem with the Panthers is, you have like Steve Wilkes has done a great job motivating this team. Mm-hmm. And I think by all accounts is a beloved leader.
I love him.
Locker room. And I think he deserves a second, like another shot at being a head coach potentially, notably with Carolina. I don't think that's going to happen. But, you know, you do wonder, like, is this, like, I don't know if the team that he's coaching is necessarily dynamic in its approach to offense or defense.
No. They need a better offensive coordinator. They need better offensive personnel. So I don't know if they didn't trust Sam Darnold or if they just decided at some point what we do is going to work. I get it. But they also, what I think, and I was talking about earlier this week, the lack of a pass catching tight end, the lack of a big target wide receiver really does hurt them when you get down here, if you can't run the ball. Now, if you can successfully run the ball, as Pittsburgh did, Pittsburgh panthered the Panthers is what they did. Those three drives, that might be the greatest drive in the history of the NFL. 21 plays, 11, 43, 91 yards. I don't know if it's a better drive than that.
I don't know. I think the somebody went 18 plays for like 42 yards the other day. That was so.
I'm not sure I like that drive.
Hey, and by the way, like, I mean, you know, we caught a lot of crap. I mean, I think you did too. Like, I caught a lot of crap for pointing out that, you know, when the Panthers traded up for Matt Corral, that, and this is not a Matt Corral take. I think I'm intrigued by him as a player, but when they traded up for him, he was the third time. I guess it was the second time. Baker was the third time. This three times they have used non, like, super high draft picks in acquiring middling quarterbacks.
Right.
And people are like, well, it's just a third round pick. Like, who cares? Stop being. It's like, no. Do you know what you can find in the third round? A pass catching tight end.
Right.
Or a possible wide receiver.
Yeah.
Like DK Metcalf was taken with the last pick of the second round. This is why you don't use these picks. You don't waste them on trying to trade around for quarterbacks. And look, look where it's gotten them.
Yeah, I'm 100% on board.
So sorry, that was
no, fine. No. It's true. The end of the day. Wasting a future asset on Matt Corral for a lottery ticket. I mean. Hey, you know what? You might scratch off and get sevens all across. I don't know. Can you do that in a lottery ticket? But you might win the lottery. You might win the scratch off. Probably not gonna, but you might. It's foolish. It's absolutely foolish.
Actually, this is easy. We go look for Matt Corral in the 2022 NFL draft. He was taken with the 94th pick. Notable guys taken after him, by the way, Brian Robinson, who looks great for Washington.
Yeah.
The running back, young running back who's under a cheap team control. It should be comeback player of the year after he came back from being shot.
Before the season.
He was taken 98th overall and then 106th overall, the first pick of the fourth round. Tampa Bay takes Cade Otton, who's looked pretty good with Tom Brady. Like, he would be a valuable asset on this Panthers team that would be helping them right now.
Yeah. They had serious weaknesses at a lot of positions, which is why I say that the rebuild is not right around the corner. They are still a few years away. All right. You and I talked on Thursday about an indication in Jacksonville. We'll talk about the Jaguars and the Cowboys and the dumbest finish in the history of football. Next. Your favorite Christmas song is?
Oh, man. I'm a big Rock Around the Christmas Tree fan. I don't really know if I've got a favorite one.
Really? Okay, that's fair. You don't have to have a favorite.
I mean, I'm a big fan of all of Christmas music in general, but I think I like some of these like more offbeat like Christmas albums. My good friend Blaine Smith is very good about putting together Christmas mixes.
Uh-huh.
I found one that a Christmas album that I actually didn't know about. Until recently, Jimmy Smith, Christmas Cooking.
Smith, the former wide receiver of the Jacksonville Jaguars?
No, he would be, based on part of his career, Christmas Cooking would have been something different.
Right.
actually, you know what? I'm gonna take a mulligan.
Sure.
And tell you my favorite Christmas song is. And it's sometimes NSFW. But Clarence Carter, Backdoor Santa.
Oh, he's on my. It's on my top five.
Sweet Christmas song.
It's on my top five. Absolutely, Backdoor Santa is tremendous. Christmas and Hollis for me is undefeated. And as I said, I say this all the time. Must Be Santa by Bob Dylan. Watch the video. The video will just make you laugh. Okay. It's a great house party in the video. All right, let's talk about the Jaguars win over the Cowboys in overtime. There's a lot of games I do want to get to. We don't have, a ton of time left. We spent probably too much time on the NFC South. But
I mean, it's, you know.
Right. We talked on Thursday, about as much as anything for Dallas. I mean, they're 10-4. They're going to make the playoffs. They're probably going to be the 5 seed. That this was an indication. So, did we learn anything? We probably learned more about Mike McCarthy and maybe Dak Prescott than we learned about anything about the Dallas Cowboys. How did they end up losing the game they should have probably put away?
Yeah, I mean, now I will say that that, you know, I did point out on Thursday that I thought the Cowboys were going to look ahead past this game to the Philadelphia Eagles.
Right.
You know, that wasn't necessarily the total case because they were up. I mean, Lord knows they were up
27-10 in the third quarter.
Yeah, against the Jacksonville Jaguars. Like, you just got to put them away. I mean, for me, it was really more about Trevor Lawrence. Like,
he's great.
Turning it on, and he's looked awesome the last several weeks. I think anybody who wrote him off, I mean, again, I said this before, you're an idiot if you wrote him off. No offense. If you like gave up on Trevor Lawrence after 1 year with Urban Meyer, well, I mean, what are you thinking? I do wonder. The Cowboys, for me, are a team with a lot of talent and a lot of high-level, like a very, not stars and scrubs, but I mean, they have like these really fun, explosive playmakers on both sides of the ball. And yet there's no way in hell I want to trust them in the playoffs because Mike McCarthy's involved. And this is sort of a reason why, like, you're up 27-10 against the Jaguars and you lose that game in overtime. Now, granted, like, the NFL has basically you know, metamorphosized this, you know, the way that games are played into a situation where anybody can come back from any like deficit. The freaking Vikings came back from 33-0 on Saturday.
They did.
Matt Ryan.
They absolutely did.
Matt Ryan has now given up the largest lead in NFL history, the largest lead in NFC Championship game history, and the largest lead in Super Bowl history. And he's not even play defense, poor guy.
We're hanging that on Matt Ryan. That's too bad.
I know. I love Matt Ryan. But you know what I'm saying? Like, anybody can go back from in deficit at this point in the NFL. Right. And I do think that, you know, if you had somebody who's not Mike McCarthy, maybe they keep a little foot. I think Doug Peterson keeps his foot on the gas and doesn't give up that lead, is my point.
Look, I thought it was an indication going into this game. First of all, I don't get why they would look past Jacksonville to Philly. It ain't like the game really matters that much against Philly other than for their own brains, their own mindset, because they're not catching Philadelphia on top of the division anyway.
They could have if they beat Jacksonville and Philly lost in one of the games. I mean,
Philly would have to lose some to somebody else to have a chance.
I think a lot of it is probably about the fact that the Eagles look like a dominant team. Jerry Jones is probably referencing how much he would like to defeat the Eagles in the playoffs. And you heard Micah Parsons talk about it. Like, it's sort of like playing them on Christmas Eve, 4:30 p.m.
Right. I
mean, all of us heathens who will be watching it. There'll be a lot of people, not a lot of Christmas Eve services in the greater Dallas area will be popular.
They'll be very early this year.
Right.
Our Christmas Eve service will be at 9:30 today.
Right. And I just think that it for them, it's like sort of a mile marker, right? Say if they beat the Eagles on Christmas Eve, they can say we know we can beat anybody in the playoffs.
Okay. So I know this is going to sound weird, but just beat them in the playoffs. That's the only time you have to beat them.
I'm not suggesting that this mindset is the correct mindset to have. I'm simply suggesting I think that's where Dallas is. And when you've got a division rival who's better than you, clearly on like both sides of the ball and at most positions,
and
living rent-free in your head as you head into January, Christmas in January, like, you're probably in trouble.
Yeah, I think they're in trouble in terms of just how they're playing. They're not playing very well. Dak Prescott is not playing very well. And that therein lies the problem. All right, I can't even describe how the New England Patriots lost the game other than they didn't really care to win it. I don't even understand. Now, I know the players came out and said, this was on us, this wasn't on the coach. Well, of course. I can't imagine Belichick said, hey, by the way, if you don't get a touchdown on this running play that we're running at the end of the game for I don't even know what reason, then just throw it around and see what happens. I'm sure he didn't coach that.
Probably not, but I think...
What did we watch?
I think, and we talked about this on the podcast last night, but I think one of the things that is really fascinating to me about the Bill Belichick Patriots, and I don't want to call it like post-Tom Brady world, but, you know, over the last couple of years, specifically, I think like the last 2 years, this is a team... So for 20 years, the Patriots under Bill Belichick just simply didn't do the stupid things that everyone else did. That caught, like they allowed so many teams to lose games by doing stupid right. things and simply not doing stupid things, letting the stupid things come to them, taking advantage and winning these games. And you would see it happen week in and week out all the time in the playoffs. And it feels like the last 2 years, more or less, the Patriots no longer avoid doing the same stupid things that they avoided doing for like two decades.
Yeah, it was Belichick that said more games are lost than won.
Correct.
And he just proved it. his team.
Joe Burrow famously said, you've got to win games to not lose them. in the National Football League.
I mean, by the way, the play-by-play call, we're going to play this in Wall of Sound later. Have you heard Jamie Horowitz's play-by-play call of that?
Jason Horowitz.
Jason Horowitz. I don't know why Jamie Horowitz. No,
Jamie Horowitz is the...
Is your guy, right?
No, Jason Horowitz is...
Isn't Jason Jamie Horowitz like somebody that you've had on your podcast before? Like a fantasy football guy?
No, that's Jamie Eisenberg.
Jamie
Horowitz is the guy.
Listen to me getting all the Jewish names mixed up.
Hey, I was... the Bears 2012. I'm an honorary member. Long story, but Jamie Horowitz is the guy who created whatever the debate show is on First Take.
Oh, okay. So, that's where I get...